Good morning, church. How is everyone this morning?
Good.
It's good to hear from all of you. And I'm glad to see we have guests here today. I'm very thankful for my Uncle Corby coming out and visiting me before I leave. And I'm just excited. It's an exciting time to be alive. And I praise God for all the things that he's done for us and to this day. So I wanted to share a story with you this morning. But before I do, I would like to bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful to come to you and that you can refresh us and refresh our souls. And you break the bread of life with us, Lord. And you restore those relationships that are broken, Lord. You help us to become united with you as it is a marriage, Lord. As we are in marriage to you, Lord. We dedicate our whole souls and our whole beings to you, Lord. And we're thankful for all the wonderful things you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the story that I have is from camp meeting last year. My sister was staying up in Cicero, and every day I was driving to and from Cicero. On the way back from work, I would drive up there. And one day I was driving, and I seen a box truck. And on the back of the box truck, it said in big purple letters, it said Faith. And as I approached the box truck, I got closer to it. And underneath those big purple letters, I seen in print, it said Philippians 4:13. I knew what that scripture was, which was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so later on that night, I went in. They had a lecture that evening. And in the beginning of the lecture, a young man had a PowerPoint presentation displayed. And the first thing on the first slide said, begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And the verse underneath that said, Philippians 3:14. I race for the mark of the prize and the high calling of God, who is Christ Jesus. And so I thought about these messages that were relayed to me. And I thought, God has given me a very personal message that I would like to share with you all today. So point number one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I have a question for you. I have a question. How should we as Christians deal with sin? How should we deal with the sin problem? Joe, do you have something?
Quit sinning.
Let's see what the Bible says. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Romans 6, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So the answer, God's grace gives us victory over sin. How do we overcome our sins? Let's also look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. This says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God..." Let me stop right there. We can set out to do it. Of course, we can set out to do these things. But it can become discouraging because it is a lot easier said than done. Putting away the deeds of the flesh is a lot easier said than done. I among you am the chief of sinners, having yielded myself to the first sign of temptation. But we, brothers and sisters, are an enduring people, and we will continue to put forth effort in our daily walk with Jesus, putting our focus on him. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God leads us to put away the desires of our flesh. The Spirit leads us to cry out to the Father, like a child calling out for safety. In Christ, we find safety from our own desires. Turn with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 3, verse 20. Excuse me, Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. He loved me so much that he gave himself for me. Then might I also give myself unto him? Might I also give my life to him? And by this, we may bear the fruits of the Spirit. Now unto me a living faith streams forth like a living fountain of water. Therefore, brethren, I have now, through Christ, become a law-abiding citizen of the kingdom of God. Through this same adoption, for we know that faith without works is dead. But I also add that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by Christ. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. In James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And let us also look at Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And as we all know very well, we look in Revelation 14, verse 12. This says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Yes, brothers and sisters, in our daily walk with Christ, we can overcome those temptations. If we but focus on the Savior, there is no temptation too strong that we cannot bear. We have to believe in Christ, wherein which we are justified. Then we must act for Christ, in which we are sanctified. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Point number two. I race for the mark of the prize and the high calling of God, who is Christ Jesus. So a few months back, I had a coworker who was confiding me over issues relating to finances, and he was having relationship problems. And he kept expressing to me how he was feared of being letting go from his job. And if that were to happen, his relationship would crumble. He wouldn't be able to support his family. And so I had to reassure him that he had these surmounting problems, but no problem was too big for God. I had to reassure him that God could supply all his needs if he would but put his trust in him. So my question to you is there anything too big for God? Matthew 17:20 says that verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We need faith, obviously. Where does our faith come from, brothers and sisters? Our faith in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We receive our faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you look in 1 Timothy, beginning in chapter 4, Paul says an interesting thing. In 1 Timothy, beginning in chapter 4, Paul says that the Spirit speaketh expressly. So by hearing the word of God, you are also hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's why we need to be in the word. That is when we hear the Holy Spirit, when we are in the word. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We have to be in the word. Look with me also. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We have to ask. We have to ask continually. We have to ask in prayer to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we have to believe in God's promises. We have to believe in his promise that he will send his Holy Spirit and that it will guide us, that he will guide us into all truth. Not only that, but ye who lack in faith believes not in all of God's promises. Let us depend on God that he will fulfill his promises. He is not a liar. For we know, according to James chapter 1, we know that he will give us wisdom liberally without reproach when we ask him. We know from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. We know, according to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, we know that we do not need to be afraid, for God is with us. He will strengthen us. He will uphold us with his right hand. We know that when we are sharing our faith and witnessing for God's cause, that we are not laboring in vain and that our reward is with him. So I shared some of these promises with my coworker, and he responded to me, "Tom, don't ever lose hope. Hope is a powerful thing." And he said to me, "Don't ever let your dreams die." Wow, what a powerful statement. So I asked him, "What is your dream?" And he told me his dream was to retire in San Diego. And I looked at him and I said, "Charlie, San Diego, that's a beautiful place, but God has a much better place for you. It has mansions and streets made of gold, and it has the tree of life, and you get to walk with Jesus every single day." So wherever you are in your life, God is asking you to let go of whatever it is you are holding on to and let him have it. Claim his promises. God will give them to those who ask. We need to ask for his Spirit continually, for we cannot fulfill our higher calling without his instruction. Brothers and sisters, what is our higher calling? Turn with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read from verse 24. This speaks on our higher calling. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." In other words, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, we are running to receive an incorruptible crown. We enter the race for that incorruptible crown. Jesus says to his followers, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." In other words, we are trying to be like Christ through Christ's imparted righteousness unto us. When John the Baptist preached, he spoke of him who would come after him, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. 3.5 years later, we find the disciples gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They were waiting to receive power on high. They were praying in submission to God's will. Then suddenly a mighty wind came in, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. Instantly, they felt a deep burning that overtook them to share the gospel with lost souls with the message of the Lord. So the disciples spread through Jerusalem on foot with the good news about Jesus. The Jews visiting from distant lands marveled because the disciples were speaking in their language. They could understand them. The Spirit manifested in them cloven tongues of fire so they could speak in the different languages of the people who were present there. As they gathered a crowd, some among them began to reason, saying to themselves, "These men are drunken with wine." Now, upon hearing these accusations, Peter stands up where he could be seen and heard by all. And he calls to them, "We are not drunk. This was what the prophet Joel spoke to you, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit, and that your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And Peter began speaking of Jesus' performing miracles, his wonders and signs, and how he was put to death on the cross and resurrected from the dead. Peter testified to witnessing the risen Christ with his own eyes. He expounded to the crowd the way Jesus fulfilled the ancient prophecies. Truly, Peter was set ablaze. He displayed a holy boldness so vastly different from his previous conduct. He held the crowd spellbound. Peter, the man who denied Christ 3 times in one day, is now his fearless witness. Now voices are calling from the crowd, "Brother, what shall we do?" And Peter declared to them, Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Three 3,000 hearts were converted that day. For all of you here, I want to make an appeal that you will make a decision to let the Lord Jesus reign supreme in your life. We race for the mark of the prize and the high calling of God, who is Christ Jesus.